I'd like to call the Health and Social Services Committee at order at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, March 1st, 2017. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Today, members present are Senator Machicki, Senator Geisel, Senator Von Imhoff, and Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson. First up on our agenda, we will return to Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, April 2017, by Senator Meyer. We heard an overview of the sponsor and take public testimony on the bill on Monday, February 27th. We welcome Christine Marsigan to the staff table for the table staff of Senator Meyer. And are there any further comments or questions for the bill sponsor or their staff today? Are there any amendments at this time? Are there any further comments from the bill sponsor? Well, seeing or hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to move this bill from committee. Senator Von Imhoff?
Okay, so I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, Version A, from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objections, we'll take an ad ease to sign the documents. Back on record. Next on the agenda, we have Senate Bill 63, the Regulation of Smoking, by Senator Machicki. It's my intent to hear the bill and take public testimony today, and set the bill aside for further consideration, or to move the bill out of committee today, depending on the number of folks we have to testify and if there's any amendments from our committee folks. We would now like to welcome our prime sponsor of the bill, Senator Machicki, and his staff to the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Peter Machicki, District O, with my staff that will be carrying this bill. That's Rachel Hanke, here to my right, your left. If you're ready for an introduction.
At your leisure, Senator.
Thank you. Senate Bill 63 is simply about protecting Alaska employees in the workplace. In Alaska, more people die annually from the effects of tobacco than from suicide, motor vehicle crashes, homicide, chronic liver diseases, and I can add several other key diseases, Mr. Chairman. The reality of it is number one, and we'd like to change that and protect Alaska workers. And, you know, before I make a decision on carrying legislation, I put it through measuring yardstick of whether or not it compromises freedom, liberty, and if it protects public safety, health, and cost containment. The reality of it is this is about protecting non-smokers' right in the workplace to breathe smoke-free air. This is nothing against the rights of the smoker. They can continue to smoke wherever they choose as long as they're not causing others to have to breathe their smoke. And some may want to compare this to a sugary drink piece of legislation. The reality of it is this is not about sugary drinks. You have the right to drink all the sugary drinks you'd want to. The difference is that you don't force others to drink them at the same time, and that's what this bill is about for me. The financial burden of caring for those that fall victim to tobacco-related illness due to secondhand smoke costs the state of Alaska tens of millions of dollars annually. We have a role to protect the public, particularly employees. Similar roles in protecting the public are things like establishing speed limits, regulating driving under the influence, electrical codes, that sort of thing. It's what we do. Over half of the population of Alaska are currently living under smoke-free laws similar to Senate Bill 63. For Alaskans residing in the remaining areas of the state, this bill will offer a uniformly applied smoke-free workplace policy. It does not remove the right of the smoker to smoke. Rather, it limits the smoker's ability to adversely affect the health of Alaska's non-smoking employees. In other words, Mr. Chairman, the bill simply asks smokers to take it outside at the workplace. And Rachel here is here for walking us through a sectional, if you're interested, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
For the record, my name is Rachel Hankey, and I'm staff to Senator Machicki. Section 1 of Senate Bill 63 provides a statement of legislative intent, which will state that the state of Alaska will not be held accountable for the results of smoking in any of the enclosed places allowed by this act, and does not undermine the possible liability to manufacturers or distributors of tobacco products and or e-cigarettes. Section 2 adds a new article to Title 18, which prohibits smoking in enclosed areas and public places. There are quite a few on the list, but they are primarily places of employment. Prohibits smoking in certain outdoor areas, and the distance requirements will be 10 feet from the entrance of a bar or restaurant and 20 feet from an entrance, window, or air intake of any smoke-free building addressed previously. Allows smoking in retail tobacco or e-cigarette stores that are freestanding, and a tobacco store or e-cigarette store would be a store that has 90% gross revenues from tobacco or e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes smoking will be allowed in a building that is not freestanding if it has a separate entrance, its own ventilation system, and is may be attached to another business as long as it isn't a home, a child care or health care facility, or a school. Smoking is allowed in a separate area inside of an airport terminal for international passengers if they are not allowed by federal law to leave the airport and it is vented outside. Will be allowed in a private vehicle that is a place of employment exclusively for one person. Nothing in the act prohibits smoking in a residence unless it's used for paid child care, even if the children aren't present, adult care, or health professional is present. Will be allowed in smoking shelters that meet the distance requirements, and food or drink is not served inside. Sections 3, 4, 6, 7, 9 through 12 just amend cross-references. Section 5 amends cross-references and provides new fines for violations in which the commissioner has filed a civil complaint. Section 8 amends cross-references and provides individuals found guilty of violation as defined in Title 11 new fines. Section 13 defines terms used in the Act. Section 14 repeals seven sections. Section 15 specifies that the changes made in Sections 2 through 13 of the Act apply to violations or compliance failures that occur on or after the effective date for those sections. Section 16 is uncodified law that authorizes the department to adopt necessary regulations. Section 17 provides for an immediate effective date of Section 16. And Section 18 provides for an October 1st, 2017 effective date.
Thank you, Ms. Hanke. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify for the record, this is a complaint-driven bill. It's purposely light-handed. If you look at the examples in the communities, half of the state's population that are under these bills, there have been less than half a dozen complaints that have resulted in fines. At least that was the last record that I saw. It largely has, I think businesses have realized that the compliance makes sense and have not pushed it, but it is specifically designed to be light-handed. We believe that there is value and that society is ready for this change, and we don't think that heavy fines need to accompany the change that we expect to occur in the bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the sponsor of the bill? Senator Begich?
Just a brief question, Senator. When I was looking through the fiscal notes, I received the DOT fiscal note a little late, and it had a price tag about 15.3, and I just noticed in the detail, this is the SBO 063-DOT-COM-2-27-17 identifier fiscal note toward the back of our packet. On the second page of that fiscal note, it shows 12x12 signs for vessels at $25 a sign and 12x12 signs at Ted Stevens Airport at $10 a sign. I just wondered why the discrepancy.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, I believe the difference is just the material construction for holding up on a vessel, if you will.
Yeah, drilling it in.
But I do want to mention that we expect a donor. The Department of Transportation has to provide a fiscal note. We have a donor that will cover the cost of those signs. So there will be no cost to the state.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, we'll take an at ease before we begin public testimony. And for those that are in the room that have not already, if you would like to testify, please make sure you sign up for testimony. And the sign-ups are outside the room 205.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, Senator.
Just to mention that we have Emily Ninon here with the American Cancer Society, Dr. Butler from the Chief Medical Officer for the Department of Health and Social Services. And they're here either for your reference or they can testify, but they are excellent resources on this bill.
Thank you. Back on the record. We'll now open up public testimony for SB 63. We'll start here in the first in the room of the folks here in Juneau. We'll start with Emily Ninon. For folks that are on the phone and folks in the room, we estimate about 2 minutes for public testimony. Since we do have quite a few folks here to testify upon SB 63, and please remember to state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Wilson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily Neen, and I'm the Alaska Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. And I have been working on this issue in Alaska for about 16 years now. And so I've been following it as it develops throughout the local level, and then for the last few years working towards getting the whole state protected from secondhand smoke in the workplace. Just wanted to give you a brief history of this issue. The first community in Alaska to pass a local smoke-free workplace law was Bethel back in 1998, really actually a trendsetter for the nation. So that was an exciting thing that we can all be proud of. Since then, many other communities have adopted these local ordinances: Barrow, Juneau, Dillingham, Unalaska, Nome, Palmer. Anchorage's ordinance went into effect as a comprehensive ordinance in 2007. So as Senator Michicki referenced, we have about half the state's population covered by smoke-free laws now. Many of the other jurisdictions in the state don't have the power to pass a law like this at the local level, such as the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Kenai Peninsula Borough, or Matsu Borough, due to the health powers those second-class boroughs have adopted or not adopted. So what's changed during this time over these years since 1998, when Bethel passed its local law? We know a whole lot more than we did at that time, particularly in 2006 when the U.S. Surgeon General's report on exposure to secondhand smoke came out. That was a comprehensive meta-analysis of studies to that point, and that's now 10 years old, so we've learned even more since then. That was the time that we first heard the statement, there's no safe exposure level to secondhand smoke. That was the time when it was established that ventilation doesn't work. It is possible to get rid of some smell, but the actual carcinogens and some of the fine particles, you can't be alleviated through ventilation. So with that, I just wanted to mention that we do have strong support for this measure around the state. Recent polling in Alaska from a year ago showed 69% of Alaskans supporting a statewide smoke-free workplace law. And interesting to note, 60% of those strongly favored the law. So there is good, strong support. That's a measure of how the implementation will also go. We know from communities in Alaska and around the nation that when people understand laws like this, this is a self-enforcing law, and that compliance is good, so we don't expect issues with that. And I will close by just adding that everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess for the record, just start off, since we do have a lot of folks for testimony, questions will be sort of limited, but I do know the sponsor of the bill may have mentioned that you may be able to speak to the donation of the $15,000 for the signs and the postage of the signs.
Yes, Chair Wilson. I have been in contact with a foundation, the Americans for Nonsmokers' Rights Foundation, and the agreement that was in place a year ago when we were looking at this issue was the foundation was willing to make that donation through the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network to get those signs covered, with the one provision being that the bill remains strong.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for coming to testify.
Thank you.
Next up for testimony is Dr. Bob Urata. Please, members, state your name for the record. About 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Bob Urata. I'm a family physician, born and raised in Wrangell, Alaska. I was a member of the third whammy class in Alaska, and I've practiced medicine in Juneau since 1984. I'm an American Heart Association volunteer for the past 16 years, and I'm here to speak in support of Senate Bill 63. I also support the inclusion of e-cigarettes. Cigarette smoking continues to be the leading cause of preventable death and disease in Alaska and the U.S. American dies of a heart attack every 34 seconds, and one dies of a stroke every 40 seconds. In Alaska, cancer is the number one cause of death, and heart disease and stroke are number two. Smoking not only claims the lives of those who use tobacco, but those who are exposed to secondhand smoke. Nationally, secondhand smoke causes about 40,000 deaths each year. In addition, it's very expensive. The CDC reports secondhand smoke exposure costs the U.S. $5.6 billion in lost productivity. There's also $156 billion lost productivity due to tobacco in total. This state may save about $5 million in Medicaid medical expenses. That's only Medicaid, not private insurance. As reported by the U.S. Surgeon General, exposure of adults to secondhand smoke has an immediate adverse effect on cardiovascular system and causes coronary heart disease and lung cancer. In fact, just 30 minutes of exposure to secondhand smoke rapidly impairs the vascular function. And long-term exposure to secondhand smoke is associated with a 25 to 30% increase for coronary heart disease in adult non-smokers. We know that smoke-free workplace laws are an important part of improving the health of this country and our state by reducing death and disabilities from the number one and the number two most common causes of disease. Clean air reduces heart disease, stroke, cancer, and lung disease. So far, studies in 10 communities published in peer-reviewed journals have shown a decrease in heart attack incidents after implementation of the smoke-free laws. Two examples, Helena, Montana, there's a 40% decrease in heart attacks among Helena residents when smoke-free laws were in place. In Pueblo, Colorado, there is a 41% decline of heart attacks hospitalizations. In addition to that, there is a 20% rise in bar and restaurant sales taxes collected in the year and a half following the passage of this ordinance.
And Dr. Reese, need 2 minutes if you can wrap up. Please.
Okay. Please look at the ICER report on Anchorage Positive Business Experience. So the positive impacts may benefit many in the long and short term. This will also benefit your family, your friends, your neighbors, but more importantly, your grandchildren. On behalf of the American Heart Association and many Alaskans, I urge you to support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doctor. Next up is Ms. Julie Smith.
My name is Julie Schmidt, and I guess you can tell from my red vest that I am a member of the ARP delegation that is here for the fly-in today. You've heard a lot of statistics from different people and even within the bill itself. So there's just a couple that I would like to add to that. One is that 51% of smokers in Alaska support this bill, which I think says a great deal. ARP supports this bill, and including e-cigarettes and marijuana. Over 1,000 Alaska businesses and organizations have signed resolutions in support of a law in Alaska to make all workplaces 100% free, smoke-free. I think another telling fact is that in cities and towns where the ordinance has been in effect, that businesses, including bars, have not lost sales and money, but in fact have profited from people that have now quit smoking and do not wish to be in that environment any longer. We are especially concerned for elders that are still working in Alaska, and that includes over 50% of ARP's membership that are still in the workplace and may be subject to secondhand smoke. Smoke-free laws also work, and they can also help smokers who want to quit and prevent our youth from starting to smoke. So I would ask you to clear the air and try to get this legislation passed for all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Next up is Ms. Brooke Hebenstall.
For the record, I'm Brooke Heppenstall, and I'm from Palmer, Alaska, and I'm here as a volunteer helping represent the 85,000-plus members of AARP. And no, we're not just for old people anymore. I love this subtitle of SB 63, Take It Outside. That's what my late father used to tell my late mother. You want to smoke? Take it outside. I come from a family of people who quit smoking as well as inveterate non-smokers, so I can surely appreciate that. You know, the vast majority of Alaskans, including smokers, support this bill. But one thing, as I listened to around the Capitol today, speaking with some of our representatives and senators, is that word, individual rights, which comes up. And I appreciate that, but those are my rights as well as the smoker's rights. And it's my right not to breathe that air. I'm a 60s flower child, and I can't imagine me expecting you to sit next to me in the Palmer Bar and let me light up a joint now that we've just passed another law in this state. I don't think that would go over very well. Well, cigarettes are the same to a lot of non-smokers, so are e-cigarettes. So is perfume, for that matter, for a lot of people that I know. So this is kind of a no-brainer. It protects my rights as well as yours. And these folks are a hard act to follow, so I'm not going to throw a lot of numbers at you. It's good for your health, but it's darn good for business as well. I hear that a lot because that seems to be sort of a mantra in our very red state. In Palmer, it's been very good for us. We've been smoke-free for 3 to 4 years. In the summertime, I'm working in the farmers markets, and my customers tell me, yeah, that's why we come out here, because you're smoke-free. In the wintertime, I'm fortunate to work in a thriving retail business right dead in the middle of Palmer. And for a town of around 6,000 people, we're doing all right. I'm hoping we'll weather this economic abyss, but we get an awful lot of people who come out from Anchorage and Eagle River now to spend the afternoon having lunch anywhere they please now in town. Used to have maybe 2 restaurants. Now they have a broad choice. They can leave the husband at the old Palmer Bar, which is a staple tavern in any town, and that used to be a whole strip full of bars there. Well, it's totally smoke-free, so they shop. So, okay, I will do. I'll leave you with one last thing. My husband's a recent retiree from the state of Alaska Department of Corrections. Alaska's prisons have been smoke-free for a long time, and I've taught in those prisons as well. So don't imprison employees who can't get away from the smoke.
Thank you. Next up is Mr. Ken Hellander. Begin.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wilson. I am Ken Helander. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska, again representing our 85,000+ members. I'm not going to say too much more than has already been said, except that AARP has long supported this policy across the country in many states. We are proud to do so because we know that younger people who are able to breathe smoke-free air grow up to be healthy older people, and this is the primary concern that we represent. I also want to say that we've been working in partnership with many of the organizations who are listed as supporters and stakeholders of this bill, and we are proud to do so here in Alaska. And one of the things that I have heard, which I think, you know, is so true in so many cases, is that this should be something that's local control. And why should it be a state issue? But the fact is, as Emily had pointed out, that it can't be a local issue because so many communities do not have the power to make this decision for themselves. It does require a statewide decision. And so we ask you to support this bill, pass it out of committee, and get it into law for the benefit of all of us who want to breathe smoke-free air. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Before we head to the phone, take a brief addies. Back on the record, we'll now take testimony from the Fairbanks phone lines of the LIO. We'll start with Charles Holyfield.
Thank you.
And sir,
this
please.
Is Charles Holyfield. I'm director of the respiratory care department at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, and I'm also a member of the American Lung Association here representing them. I'd like to start by just referring to the Dittman research that was done last year. There's already been a few references to it, but one of the things that I thought was most important was that 88% of Alaskans surveyed agreed that all Alaskan workers should be protected from secondhand smoke in the workplace. Another important factor I thought was that 72% of the Alaskans support including e-cigarettes in that. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the e-cigarette secondhand smoke, which people refer to as vapor, it's just water. That's not true. The propellant or the liquid in e-cigarettes is usually propylene glycol. I think of propylene glycol as being the fluid that's in my radiant heat system in my floors. But it also contains some diethylene glycol, which is the ingredient in the antifreeze. This is vapors that are being exhaled into the air that's part of the secondhand smoke. Even though the World Health Organization has not decided to, at this point, that they had enough information to rule on it, there is evidence to suggest that it is an issue. And I think that's all I really want to pass on at this time. I'll keep it brief. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next on the phone, we have Edward Daly. And, sir, if you can remember to please state your name and affiliation for the record, and please plan on 2 minutes for testifying.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Edward Daly. I am here on my own behalf for myself. I'd just like to bring up the fact that secondhand smoke has totally turned my whole life upside down. I worked for the state for a number of years, retired from the state in 07, but during my tenure with the state, I also bartended part-time. Once I retired from the state, I took up bartending on a 30-hour-a-week basis, then was promoted to manager of the bar. Well, in that time frame, I don't know how much smoke I inhaled. I used to be a smoker. I quit back in 98. Once I went to work in the bar, stopped going to bars, the damage was already done. The damage is done. I just found out yesterday I now have a small clot in my right lower leg. I haven't been in a bar since 2012 when I last worked. I don't frequent places with smoke, and it's kind of late for me, but if we can stop the secondhand smoke from people who don't smoke, have never smoked, but are forced to inhale it because of where they work, I think this is an excellent bill. I'm totally in support of it to include e-cigarettes. The damage is there. The knowledge is there. And I think it would be a crying shame if they rejected this bill, because as legislators, representatives, I think you are responsible for the health and the welfare of all citizens of Alaska. So I hope you'll really seriously consider passing SB 63, and I thank you for your time, and have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. Next on the phone is Larry Hackenmiller.
I'm Larry Hackenmiller. I live 518 Farmers Loop Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. Now, first, I respectfully request that some member of this committee contact OSHA, or Alaska, it's called ACOSH, to testify on the risk of secondhand smoke in the workplace. These authorities are responsible for indoor air quality in the workplace, and they can assist you in determining hazards of secondhand smoke in the workplace. This request was ignored last year under Senate Bill 1 when a committee member asked the sponsor to provide such information. It would seem appropriate to bring in the authority on indoor air quality when it is indoor air quality that is used as a route to facilitate this statute. Now, the EPA Air Toxics website states that people exposed to toxic pollutants at sufficient concentrations and durations may have an increased chance of getting cancer or experiencing other serious side effects. And they've established risk standards for all known toxics to develop regulations that limit our exposure to these substances. And these risk standards are the authority used by all government bodies to regulate exposure to toxic chemicals. An example of this would be toxic exposure loading your vehicle with gas. Fumes escaping from the gas funnel are inhaled. These concentrations of gases and the time of exposure to these gases fall well under the permissible exposure limit set for these toxins. These acceptable exposures can be considered safe or, again, are not considered hazardous at hazardous levels. So acceptable may mean safe, or if you want to go the other way, it's not considered hazardous. And this is based on real science, not innuendo or unscientific studies. And I contacted ACOSH already through the EPA, and they basically, and I asked them what their response was, and they indicated that, you know, their policy on secondhand smoke in the workplace under the Clean Air Act, they were not going to be any change in accepting standards for exposure to toxic air. So, again, if you want to solve the problem, you've got to find out that the workplace conditions are not hazardous by EPA standards who are in charge of air quality. So I suggest if you want to do something about it, then change this bill to where, because there is no scientific standard to support hazardous, that you pass a law to put a sign up on any building that allows smoking to let them know that smoke's involved. And that way, if you have something against secondhand smoke, you have a choice. You don't have to go in there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we'll go to the Anchorage LIO, and we'll hear from Pete Hansen. Mr. Hansen, are you on mute?
I'm here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. You may begin. About 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Pete Hansen, Chief Operating Officer at Alaska Char. We are a statewide trade association representing restaurants, bars, and other small business operators in the hospitality sector. I will keep this brief as I'm here to make just one point. This bill is not needed. Local government officials have voted on smoking bans in many communities. Citizens have voted in referendums in many communities. In many cases, the citizens of those communities have said no to banning smoking in bars. Why is that? It's because they know bars are different from other public places where smoking has already been banned. You have to be 21 to enter a bar. No one has to go into a smoking bar. If you go to these communities that have voted against smoking bans, such as Kodiak and Ketchikan, you will find that there are numerous smoke-free bars. Clearly, the patrons and the employees at bars that allow smoking have chosen to be in a bar that allows smoking, predominantly because they want to smoke while they work, while they drink a beer, while they watch a football game on TV. If you believe in local control, then you know that these decisions have been made at the local level in many communities. There may be communities where local governments don't have the authority to do this, but there are many communities where those local governments have already exercised their rights, and so the local citizens exercised their right to have a referendum and to not go with a full smoking ban that includes bars. Speaking of choosing, that is something that consumers do very well. In fact, they do it much better than the government does. Out in the hospitality marketplace, more and more bars are going non-smoking, and that's because that's what their customers want. In fact, most bars in Alaska are already non-smoking establishments, and that was achieved without a state mandate squashing local control and consumer choice. Considering the activity already taking place in city halls and in local marketplaces around the state, is a state mandate really necessary? Or could we give it a few years and let consumers and local officials get there on their own? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Anson. Next up is Brian Saylor. Brian, are you with us today?
Yes, I'm right here.
You may begin your testimony. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Brian Saylor. I'm a longtime resident of Anchorage and a former official with the local health department and the state health department. And I'd like to strongly support this bill. Most of us know the statistics. That's not why we're here today. It's been testified to at some length. But most of us know someone who has been substantially affected by either smoking or secondhand smoke. The effects of this on the public health are very real, and they are all preventable, and this is one way to do it. The Constitution of the State of Alaska, and one of the shortest and I think most important chapters, articles, says that the legislature shall promote and protect the public health and welfare. This is a very easy way to do it. I do disagree with allowing individual businesses to or communities to make that decision. It's the employees who take the brunt of the dangerous effects of secondhand smoke when they work, perhaps not of their own choosing, but they find themselves working in a bar or other facility or service where secondhand smoke is prevalent. So I urge you to continue to support this legislation. I hope it passes, and I think we'll all be better off for it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next on the phone in Anchorage, we have Richard Block.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Richard Block, B-L-O-C-K, and I am the manager of Mellon Investment Company. We are an organization that owns and manages apartment houses located throughout the Anchorage area. Right now, we oversee about 125 apartments. I'm also president of a newly formed organization called the Association of Alaska Multifamily Building Owners. We are coming into existence to take a greater interest in public policy issues that affect the operation of apartment houses. Currently, those who are members of our organization and those that have expressed an interest in becoming a member represent probably close to about 2,000 rental units in the state. So today I'm here to speak mainly on behalf of myself, because I don't have the authority of the association yet to espouse a position on this, and so that's how this should be read. As I look at Senate Bill number 63, I see it divided from my perspective as it relates to management of apartment houses as divided into three parts, and the first part being the prohibition of smoking in common areas and areas that need to be protected. As we look at that, we have no opposition to that, and I won't go into all of the justifications for the legislature adopting that public policy that's been well ventilated. The second part deals with the obligations directly imposed on landlords to do certain things, among which are to post signs, I think is perhaps the most significant one that I found. And here again, I don't believe the burden on the landlord is that great. We probably would not oppose those provisions. The third segment of the bill, and the one that does concern us, is that involving enforcement and regulation. I believe it's Section 316, proposed 316, that grants to the Department of Health and Social Services the enforcement right, the regulation right, and authorizes the issuance of citations and the imposition of fines. It becomes important, therefore, to figure out from the language of this bill who the villain is, because if someone is smoking in a common area, hallway, or other location that's prohibited or restricted, is it the smoker that is the villain, or is it the landlord that is the villain? And we have to be careful about that. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago when we started getting citations because trash was building up around one of our dumpsters, and it turned out that the trash was being deposited there by people who were not even from the neighborhood, who were coming in and dumping their trash, but we got cited and we got fined until we finally got it straightened out. And we don't wish to have a similar situation where, because of the way in which the bill is drafted, landlords are exposed to some form of exposure because somebody is smoking where they should not be smoking. The language changes that are necessary could be a little bit complex, and I'm happy to work with the staff of the sponsor or whoever is appropriate to come around with language that would be workable and acceptable to us without in any way defeating the ultimate purpose of the bill. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the committee today.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Next up in Anchorage, we have Mr. Mark Butler. If you can state your name on the record and plan for 2 minutes for testifying.
Hello. This is Mark Butler.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Please begin your testimony when you're ready.
I'm testifying as a resident of Anchorage, the Spinard neighborhood. I'm in favor of this bill. I hope that you will pass it out of committee and then vote for it on the floor there of the Senate. I was an employee of the City Health Department, DHHS, in Anchorage when this passed, our local ordinance passed in 2007. I was a public information officer, and I talked to a number of bar owners and managers and so forth about the issue. What we discovered is that we had a handful of bar owners and managers who were very, very worried for their businesses that they were going to have to go out of business because of this. Then upon passage, or actually right before passage, some of the bars started stopping the allowance of smoking to protect their employees and other people in the bars. And they started noticing an uptick. We kept hearing these stories in comments from customers, from tourists, visitors from around the country who were happy to be in a location that didn't allow smoking and so forth. Increasingly, we heard more and more good stories that, in fact, it was good for business rather than bad for business. I personally would never go into a bar or an establishment that allowed smoking. We have smoking problems smoking has caused medical problems on both sides of my mother and father's side of the family. And my mother smoked during three pregnancies and during our adolescence of all of her three children. And all three of us to this day have had breathing problems of different sorts. We don't, of course, have any idea if it's related to that or not, but I'm absolutely against smoking in the workplace. People can, of course, choose to smoke at home if they wish. I hope that you will include, if it's not, the e-cigarette and marijuana in this as well to keep clean air for employees. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we'll go to the Homer LIO, and we'll hear from Kristen McDonald.
Hi, my name is Kristen McDonald. I am a volunteer with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, I'm also a 17-year resident of Alaska. As a nurse, I have experienced too many patients suffer from and die from the effects of smoking and secondhand smoke. I've seen friends and family members suffer and die as well. I myself have asthma as a result of secondhand smoke. During my nursing career, I've been subjected to secondhand smoke in the workplace. We need to protect the 50% of Alaskans still not covered by our smoke-free workplace laws. We all have the right to breathe smoke-free, aerosol-free air. We shouldn't have to choose between a paycheck and our life. There are those that are unable to break this deadly habit. We just ask that those folks please take it outside and away from others. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Kenai, and we'll hear from Crystal Schoenrock.
Yes, I'm Crystal Schoenrock. I'm a member of, or secretary for KPCHAR and a member of State Char. I also own the Forlands Bar in Nikiski. Now, I've talked to my patrons, and they're against this bill. They are not wanting not to be able to smoke in their own public place. That means my steady customers. I have bartenders. At one time I had two that didn't smoke, but they chose to work at my place because they liked my place and they liked the customers. Well, now I've got all my bartenders. Oh, they've moved away. Now I got bartenders and they all smoke. And they're not happy about this bill either. And I don't know how many times and how many ways we have to explain this. We pay our bills, we pay our licenses, our fees, and whatever. We, who own the bar, should be able to dictate how we run the thing, because you guys don't pay for it. And I'll tell you another thing. None of you been in my bar, and none of you will be. But you're still pushing it down our throats. So I think we should, there's enough places that have non-smoking. So I'm so sure that if nobody wants to smoke, they want to go to a bar that doesn't smoke, have at it. But these young kids, I understand and I applaud them for not wanting to smoke. But most of them aren't old enough to buy cigarettes, let alone to come into a bar. I think you ought to get rid of this bill. And I think, Mr. Machicki, don't you have some things that you need to do with getting the budget in line?
Ms. Schoenrock, please continue with your testimony. Thank you. Next on the phone, we have a Daryl Lynch. Mr. Lynch, please state your name for the record and plan on 2 minutes for testifying, please.
Thank you. Actually, it's Daniel. Downtown Soldotna, and I'm just a guy that still believes in freedom. In my neighborhood, downtown Soldotna, I have three watering holes known as the Devil's Triangle. One is smoking, one is non-smoking, and one is patio only, and that's freedom. That's a free market economy, and up to the property owners and business owners what they want to do. Today, it's with great regret that I have to come here 4 years in a row to oppose this bill, because the sponsor, my senator, opposes free market economies, the rights of property and business owners to determine their fate, and he endorses the government nanny state. A four-year effort, not on budgets, revenue, diversification of jobs or opportunities, skyrocketing health care costs, or many other real issues that are dragging down the whole state with this red herring he keeps bringing up. I would like to question the cost of enforcement, both at the state and local level, and if the sponsor's perfect world does become smoke-free, the loss of the revenue, which this chart in front of me, July of 15 through June of 16, brought in $66 million to the state. So I would question how you're going to replace that in his perfect world. I would also like to mention that this is a snake oil bill being promoted as workplace safety, if it was workplace safety, it would include protection for the people at the drive-through restaurants and the drive-through coffee stands who stick their heads out the window and suck vehicle exhaust on a daily basis. There would be workplace safety for the construction industry, for the equipment operators and laborers who are around an open-air cab on a backhoe, a dozer, or a loader that suck up the diesel exhaust, but they're not allowed to smoke a cigarette at work now because they're at work. Please shelve the bill. Use your limited time for bills of importance, not self-promotion of the sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we'll go to the Matsu LIO, and we'll hear from Noel Crawley-Bell.
Thank you. My name is Noel Crawley-Bell. I live in Palmer. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. I have lived and worked in Alaska for over 35 years. Being here for this period of time, I've experienced working in a small office where smoking was allowed. At the time, there was not smoke-free workplaces in laws in place, and I had no protection from what is a real and present health danger, the secondhand smoke. My desire to be a good steward of my health took second place to my need to support myself. That was a while back. I'm now a mom. My family and I currently live in Palmer, where I'm also employed. Living in Palmer, I'm so happy that my children and myself can enjoy the benefit of breathing clean, smoke-free air thanks to the City of Palmer, which adopted its smoke-free ordinance in 2013. Sadly, not all Alaskan communities have this power to pass such an ordinance, and without this power, employees working in communities are exposed to the known dangers of secondhand smoke. I remember the feeling of being caught in a no-win situation with bills needing to be paid and the realization that even if I did choose to look for new work, I couldn't be guaranteed of a smoke-free work environment. As a parent and a member of my community, I have a responsibility to speak on behalf of all Alaskans, of which my children are growing up to become, and voice my support for their right to breathe smoke-free air at their place of employment. I thank you for bringing this bill forward, and I support SB 63. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Ms. Robin Menard.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Robin Menard. I work for the Matsu Health Foundation here in Wasilla. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. I will be very brief. As you know, most communities in Alaska, such as Matsu, don't have health powers, and so we can't have a local law. We need your help badly to have a statewide smoke-free workplace law. This isn't about freedom, and it's not about taking away anybody's right to smoke or vape. It simply is about letting all Alaskans have the right to breathe smoke-free indoor air indoors and in their workplace. So thank you very much, and we look forward to hopefully seeing this one go through. It's time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Menard. Next up is Ms. Becky Stopa.
Hi, my name is Becky Stopa, and I live in Wasilla. I am fortunate enough to live in a place that has a lot of voluntary smoke-free workplace policies, and during my time in Alaska, I've never had to work in a smoky establishment. However, up until I was about 26 years old, that was not the case. I worked in small offices where I was surrounded by smokers. It's been nearly 30 years since I've worked in those establishments, and I still have asthma and a chronic cough, so I'm still troubled by the health consequences from many, many years ago. Like everybody else has mentioned, we've gone about as far as we can in Alaska with local ordinances. And on behalf of all those people in all those communities that still don't have a smoke-free ordinance and don't have the power to pass those, I urge you to support SB 63. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stopa. Next, we'll go to Kodiak. We'll hear from Ms. Betty McTavish.
Yes, this is McTavish. Senator Wilson and members of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee, I would like to thank Senator McKechnie for sponsoring SB 63. I want to clear up a statement that I have heard earlier concerning Kodiak. I've been a resident of Kodiak for just shy of 10 years. During the last 10 years, there has never been a vote by the citizens of Kodiak on this issue. Never. Not in those 10 years. I called the city clerk's office, I called the city, the borough clerk's office, and asked them if there had ever been, and they both told me that no, there had never been a vote on smoke-free ordinance here in Kodiak. So I want to definitely clear that up. It's been circulated, but that never happened. And the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly did pass unanimously a resolution of support for a smoke-free Alaska. I think that's very important. It was a unanimous vote. I work with youth currently that have been exposed to secondhand smoke in their summer employment workplace. They are now struggling to quit smoking. Due to the exposure that they had in their workplace during the summer, they are on the road to a lifetime addiction to tobacco. I think it's important to look at this issue from the youth, from the elderly individuals, from the people who have to work in an workplace with continuous exposure to secondhand smoke. This is one of many reasons why Alaskans need protection from secondhand smoke in the workplace. It should never be a choice between providing for their family and their own health. Alaskan workers currently remain unprotected from secondhand smoke in the workplace. We're looking to you, our legislators, to move SB 63 through committee quickly so it can go to a vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Sharon Wolkoff.
Good afternoon. My name is Sharon Wolkoff. I'd like to make this brief, but I just want to speak up for smoke-free workplaces. I think it's important to have, you know, clean indoors. My children and I, we all have asthma, and you know, just a little bit of exposure to that smoke is enough to set us off to have an attack. So, you know, just going to the store, is what my daughter says, going to the store, you know, having to walk past these clouds of smoke is, and cover her kids' noses so they don't breathe that. You know, it's not right that we have to walk through these clouds of smoke. Or even if I accidentally went into a smoking business. It was a pull tab place, and I didn't know. I thought they were all non-smoking down there, but obviously not. And I came out just smelling all stinky from the smoke. And that would be enough to trigger an asthma attack, too. So I just want to let you know I'm in favor of smoke-free workplaces. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Ketchikan, LIO, and we'll hear from Terrence Robbins.
Hi, Honorable Senators. My name is Terrence Robbins. I'm testifying as an individual, not representing any organization. I was born and raised in Alaska and fully support Senate Bill 63. As we all know, the damaging effects of smoking have killed many Alaskans each year, including several of my own family members. In 1982, when I was in high school, my grandfather, Al Gordon, who worked for the Department of Labor in Juneau, died from lung cancer. My mother, June Robbins of Ketchikan, lost both of her parents to cancer before I was old enough to remember them. After their death, she brought two brothers and three sisters up to live with us in Alaska, and they all lived here until retirement. She retired from the Ketchikan LIO. My mother's sister, Eileen Jones of Juneau, worked for the state of Alaska for 30 years and died from cancer shortly after her retirement in 2007. Her sister, Laura DRC of Butte, Montana, who loved visiting Alaska with her family, was killed by cancer in 2010. Her brother, Earl McLean of Ketchikan, died from smoking-related heart disease in 2010. My father, Dale Nicky Robbins of Ketchikan, retired from a 30-year career with the State Department of Transportation after being treated for cancer. Personally, I became addicted to flavored tobacco while playing senior league baseball in Ketchikan at the age of 13. I finally quit using tobacco after 27 years. I believe that flavored e-cigarettes are the new way to get our youth addicted to tobacco. According to the CDC, smoke-free laws are associated with increased tobacco use cessation, decreases in tobacco use prevalence, reduced cigarette consumption among continuing smokers, and reduced tobacco use among youth. I support Senate Bill 63 because I've witnessed the last ragged breath that my grandfather took, and my mother spent two of her retirement years, quote, desperately trying to comfort and care for her little sisters as they wasted away and eventually succumbed to their cancers. Smoking is so addictive and so deadly that, in my opinion, this simple act, protecting our friends, our family, and our neighbors from secondhand smoke, will surely prevent illness, it will save lives, it will help tobacco users quit smoking, and by changing community norms regarding smoking, it will reduce youth smoking rates. Thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you, sir. Go back to Anchorage to hear from Dale Fox. Please state your name for the record and your affiliation and about 2 minutes to testify.
My name is Dale Fox, and I'm the president and CEO of Alaska Char, here today to oppose SB 63. We've got to understand what this bill really does. It adds bars to the existing smoking bans that are already in place. There's no smoking on planes, public buildings, hospitals, or the other enumerated locations. This is really about bars. Many bars have gone non-smoking, as 75% of the population does not smoke. This allows customers who want to grab a beer after work the ability to make a free choice. They can choose a smoking or a non-smoking establishment. So why does Char oppose this bill? It's about economics. Simply put, most of the smoking bars who are forced to go non-smoking lose customers, revenue, and profit. The advocates say that it's good for business, but that's simply not true. Recently, a bar owner I talked to went non-smoking on his own, and he switched back to smoking because he lost 50% of his business in the first 6 weeks. I talked to many establishments in Anchorage where a smoking ban is already in place. What I discovered is quite interesting. Some bars lost no business at all. That's true. Many bars lost 30% of their income the first year. It lessened to 20% down in revenue the second year. The third year, they were down about 10%. And in the fourth year, they actually got back to where they were. Those losses are the reason for the pushback, which is why I've suggested to the advocates that they redirect their ad campaign money to helping bar owners who lose money. They seem to think that there'd be no impact at all. If that's true, it wouldn't cost them anything. I'm convinced it would cost them something, which is why there's pushback from the industry. Bar owners respond to market demands by their customers. Majority of bars in the state are non-smoking. People have a choice to go to either a smoking or non-smoking establishment. I see no compelling reason for the state to get into the non-smoking ban business. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Next, we'll go to Delta Junction and hear from Wayne Croson.
Yes. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. You may begin when you're ready.
My name is Wayne Croson, and I'm representing myself here. Smokers are selfish and inconsiderate of the non-smoking public. I know this because I was one of them 20 years ago. Thanks to a doctor, I'm smoke-free today. Secondhand smoke remains the leading cause of health problems in America. Yet the blatant disregard for this health, for the health and well-being of your fellow workers continues. This is the fourth year this bill has come before the legislature, and it's past the time to put this bill into action. Please move this bill through this year for the governor to sign into law. I thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir. Next, we'll hear from Isaac Howell.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wilson and members of the State Health Social Services Committee. My name is Isaac Howell, and I live in Anchorage. I'm the owner and operator of Cold Vapes 907. I am one of the first entrepreneurs in the state of Alaska to open a vaping shop. I'm also a member of the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association, a nationwide advocacy group. To the heart of the matter, I am a former smoker who saved his own life by switching to electronic cigarettes and now feel tremendously healthier as a result. I see this daily with Alaskans, opting to end smoking, chewing tobacco, for vaping. Their health, their health, the environment, and even monthly costs are all benefited. It is premature to suggest that vaping is unhealthy. Yes? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Oh, sorry. It is premature to suggest that vaping is unhealthy, despite certain national health advocacy suggesting so. And I realize you have heard both sides of the analysis in your committee, but suffice to say, there have been no national double-blind multi-year academy studies I'm aware of, but for those in the United Kingdom, the English studies such as the Public Health in England found electronic cigarettes are indeed 95% healthier than cigarettes, and the resulting cessation needs. Smokers are riddled themselves of addictive tobacco. Most recent studies completed by the PATH and funded by the FDA and NIH have found that electronic cigarettes are not a gateway to tobacco use. Retail locations such as mine are the first line of defense to minors using them and are an exit point for current tobacco users to switch to a safer alternative. We agree with Senator Machetti that cigarettes will kill you. However, we differ when it comes to benefits of vaping over tobacco use. Based upon this evidence of the benefits of vaping over a combustible cigarette, I'm asking you to remove vaping from Senate Bill 63. Vaping is not smoking, and other states have recognized this product and are embracing it. For example, Idaho, Nevada, and New York.
Mr. Howell, if you can wrap up.
Yes, sir?
If you can wrap up your comments, you're over your 2 minutes.
As a business owner of the state, I have the right to allow the use of vape products in my shop, and I have zero complaints from neighboring tenants. In fact, most people walk into my store and tell me how good it smells. Again, I'm asking you to remove any reference to vaping in SB 63. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Howell, thanks for your testimony. I don't know if you're aware that vape shops have been removed from the bill the way it currently stands, and that was through significant testimony we received last year. So although we still don't believe that people in the workplace that are not in vape shops should have to share your vapes, the vape shops themselves have been removed from the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification, sir. Next, we'll go to Carmen Lunde.
Good afternoon. My name is Carmen Lunde, and I'm affiliated with Kodiak Char. Thank you for hearing my testimony. We are opposed to Senate Bill 63. We believe strongly business owners have a right to make their own choices without government on any federal, state, or local level mandating laws that force business owners to go against their wishes. I simply cannot understand why it is not possible to compromise on this issue like we do here in Kodiak. We are proud of the way Kodiak handles the smoking issue. We use the common sense God gave us, an approach that works. There are 16 non-smoking establishments and 6 smoking establishments in Kodiak, giving every adult free choice to enjoy their drinks either in a smoke-free or smoking establishment. This demonstrates free choice at its best. Punishing smokers for their own good is repulsive to basic freedoms of choice. People should not be forced outside at any time to smoke a cigarette. Winter here lasts a good long time, and with our share of cold, heavy winds, snow, and freezing temperatures, this idea is ludicrous. We are asking you to leave the choice to the men and women who own these establishments, whether they want to go smoking or not. They not only have the right to make this decision, they are the only ones that know what works best for them. I would like to finish with a quote by Abraham Lincoln in the 1840s. Prohibiting goes beyond the bounds of reason in that it attempts to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things that are not a crime. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Lundy. Next, we'll go to Eric Verksagen?
I got the top.
Yeah, morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Eric Vargason. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I just want to say, you know, I was a smoker for a really, really long time. And, you know, I quit using vapor products. And that was 3 years ago. I'm a lot healthier because of it today. And I kind of resent the fact that now I'm being told, you know, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to have to go lump myself in with a bunch of smokers and get secondhand smoke, even though I fought so hard to quit. The problems with this bill, the reason why I do not support it, is just the sole factor that you guys include in language with vapor. The fact of the matter is that a lot of us work really hard. And I mean, when I say a lot of us, I mean a lot of Alaskans who use vapor products to quit smoking and have been very successful doing so. We get lumped in with a category of people that, you know, blow smoke in everybody's face, and that's simply not the case. We used it to get healthy, and we're a lot healthier and better off today because of it. I imagine a lot of people would support this bill if you guys would just remove that language. I mean, that's honest to God. There's a lot of companies here in town, places, that, you know, they say, they tell their employees, you know what, it's a smoke-free workplace now. And if they want to include vapor with that, then that's their prerogative, and they should be allowed to make that decision for themselves. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Clarence Mingo.
Hi, my name is Clarice Mingo, and I'm representing myself. I would like to thank you for taking time to hear my testimony, which is brief. I work here in the Fairbanks and North Pole area with several youth, and most importantly, I'm a mom, and I am in support of SB 63 because our borough just can't pass a smoke-free law. I don't want to see our youth have exposure to secondhand smoke and e-cig aerosol when they're in the workforce. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next would be Stephen Maps. Mapes?
Yes, hello. My name is Stephen Mapes, and I'm a vape shop owner and a ex-smoker. And my affiliation is with the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association. Chair Senator Wilson and members of the Senate Health and Social Services, I am offering this testimony against Senate Bill 63. As this bill is written, it would make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the life-saving industry of vaping to exist, much less to grow in Alaska. The opportunity and choice to vape instead of smoke should not be made more difficult and costly or taken away from those Alaskans that wish to take a healthier path. Years of research has been done and millions of dollars have been spent investigating whether vaping is a safe substitute for smoking. Well, the verdict is in. Public Health England, they state the current best estimate is that e-cigs are more than 95% less harmful than smoking. But nearly half the population, 44.8%, don't realize that e-cigarettes are much less harmful than smoking. And there is also no evidence that e-cigarettes are acting as a route into smoking for children. I mean, we don't even sell e-cigs to children or non-smokers. The Attorney General of Ohio, Tom Miller, had a speech on this. I sent it to Mr. Machichi. I was hoping he would get a chance to watch it, but maybe he didn't. Anyway, any policy pertaining to vaping in Alaska should recognize and reflect the differences between smoking and vaping and not be in lockstep with tobacco policies. This misguided bill lumps vaping together with smoking, which it is not. I noticed in the bill that I read, there's some vaping language in the bill. It hasn't been removed. An air scrubber for a small store, vape store that was attached and didn't have its own exterior door would cost between $30,000 and $50,000.
Mr. Mapes,
and if they did put an exterior door in, the price of that is about $2,800, and that's going to create security issues.
Mr.
And
Mapes,
exterior doors also raise the utility costs for the store. These costs,
Mr. Mapes,
added together would be prohibitive for new stores in communities that wanted a choice between tobacco and vaping. I am not an advocate for tobacco use, as both my folks died of lung cancer, and I smoked for 41 years until I found vaping and was able to quit killing myself. Now I help other folks get off tobacco, 297 so far, and they all tell me they feel better.
Mr. Mapes?
Please remove all references to vaping from Senate Bill 63, as it does nothing to help educate smokers or the public to the benefits of vaping over smoking and inhibits the growth of an industry that would help Alaskan smokers who have tried everything else.
Thank you, Mr. Mapes, for your testimony.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to Anchorage, and we'll hear from Dr. Jay Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, everyone. For the record, my name is Jay Butler, Chief Medical Officer in the Department of Health and Social Services. I'll be brief, but I'd like to provide the perspective not only of a public health professional and a physician, but also a former tobacco user and the product of a long line of tobacco farmers and cigarette factory workers. I will focus solely on the short-term health effects of secondhand smoke and the benefits of smoke-free laws. As Dr. Urata already describes, secondhand smoke has been secondhand smoke has been linked to the risk of heart attack, and that's not junk science or some idea coming out of the hypothesis of a single study or some website. There's multiple studies that line up into three lines of evidence. One is multiple studies documenting the epidemiological risk linked between smoke exposure and heart attack risk. Second, we know the biology of how this works in terms of how cigarette smoke alters platelet function and the lining of the blood vessels of the heart, increasing the type of blockage that can cause a heart attack. And lastly, we also know that in places where cigarette smoking is taken out of doors, it has resulted in lower rates of heart attack within the first year after these measures. A recent review of the different places that have taken this policy direction shows an average decline of 17%, and that decline is greatest among women and persons younger than 60 years. If we could achieve that type of decline in Alaska, it's estimated that over the first 5 years, the healthcare system could avert $3.7 million in costs for treating heart attack and stroke alone, and that the Alaska Medicaid program could avert over $500,000 in direct medical care costs. Look, I know we're all concerned about the high cost of healthcare, and avoiding secondhand smoke not only protects the health and productivity of Alaskans, but also helps avoid the cost of illness associated with secondhand smoke that employers, payers, and all of us share. We all do pay. Oftentimes it shows up in terms of increased health insurance premiums that are driven by the increased cost of people who don't have health insurance. We're all in this together, whether we like it or not. As Commissioner Davidson mentioned to you last month, promoting personal responsibility is one of the core functions of the department. Decreasing the risk and cost imposed to you from me smoking is part of delivering on that core function. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Dr. Butler, you're listed as one of our individuals available for questions. We have a question.
Yes, sir.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So, Dr. Butler, we've heard a few folks testify in regards to vaping, and I am just curious about secondhand smoke and how it relates to vaping and e-cigarettes.
Well, I'll agree with some of the earlier testimony in terms of there's a lot that we don't know about the health risks of vaping at this point in time. I know that we certainly have heard in previous testimony from last year that some people report having issues with exacerbation of asthma when they're exposed to vaping aerosols. And again, just not talking about someone who's going into to vape shops, but just in terms of exposure in general living situations. So the one comment I must make is if you actually review the paper from Institute of Public Health in England, and actually I've met with the people involved, the methodology is not a study. It's basically a best guess that involves a number of experts sitting around and being asked, how much do you think it reduces the risk, how much safer? I think you'll find in that study, for instance, cigars are 70% safer. There's no interpretation of what that percentage means. We have good evidence that everyone who smokes cigarettes for their lifetime has about a 50% chance of dying of a tobacco-related illness. So does that 95% mean that for a vapor it's only a 5% chance of dying of a tobacco-related illness? The data don't really say that because the methodology is really a best guess. So I don't know quite what to do with that estimate, but I want people to understand that there was no study looking at health outcomes that created that 95% estimate.
Any follow-ups, Senator? Any other questions for Dr. Butler? Thank you, Dr. Butler. We appreciate your testimony today. Are there anyone else in the room that need to sign up for testimony? Seeing none, and seeing no one else on the line, we will close public testimony on Senate Bill 63. And we'll hear any closing comments from the bill sponsor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've spoken, as you can imagine, I've spoken to almost everyone on the list in the past. I will continue to discuss the issues with them. We felt that pulling the vape shops out was, for what we know about vapes right now, was sort of a fair way to deal with this issue right now. But frankly, when I'm somewhere with my children, I don't want them breathing vapes. I have no idea what's included in those vapors. They can include marijuana and other sources, even for just what is in the regular nicotine replacement agent that's in vaping. I don't want my children or employees in Alaska to be subject to those, and that's why we just ask them to take them outside as well. We hope that the finding is that it is safer and that it helps people lead to not needing the nicotine replacement that they're getting through that eventually. But I will also reach out to Mr. Locke because multifamily building owners are only responsible for the signs, and then someone smoking in that space afterward is the person who would receive the complaint, not the property owner. And we'll contact those that certainly have suggestions if there's anything that can improve the bill. But I will tell you that after 4 years and a significant amount of support in this legislature, we believe it's in the right form to pass today and hope that that's the case.
Thank you. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate all the folks that called in today. And, you know, one of the themes we heard from some concerned folks was their rights. And even the word liberty was used. And I'm certainly an advocate. Government's main role is to protect the liberty and the property of its citizens, the personal property rights. And I turn to James Madison, Mr. Chairman, who wrote an essay on the issue of property rights quite some time ago, back in the 1700s. And in that essay, he articulates that the ultimate property right is our person. And this bill is not a prohibition on the choice to smoke, but it is a protection of our person and our property right as persons to choose what we're exposed to. And so I do support the bill. I am a co-sponsor, and I appreciate Senator Machicki bringing it forward.
Thank you. At this time, are there any amendments to Senate Bill 63? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to move this bill from this committee.
Okay. I move Senate Bill 63, version U, from committee with the attached fiscal notes, which I am going to briefly read very quickly, okay? So first, from Department of Environmental Conservation, this bill would transfer duties relating to the regulation of smoking from the DEC to the Department of Health and Social Services. So, no fiscal note there. Department of Health and Social Services. This is a zero fiscal note. The department believes these efforts could be made with existing resources in combination of with ongoing comprehensive tobacco prevention control efforts across the state. Alaska State Troopers, Department of Public Safety. The passage of this legislation is not expected to significantly impact the efforts of the Alaska State Troopers. Therefore, a zero fiscal note is being submitted. Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. The Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office does not anticipate fiscal impact from this legislation. Zero fiscal note. Finally, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. At this point, it is a $15,300 fiscal note. This is for state-owned vehicles under enclosed areas to have signage, Alaska Marine Highway ferries, Alaska rural airports, including state-owned airport terminals, fuel facilities, and other enclosed areas, including the Fairbanks International Airport and the Ted Stevens International Airport. The total one-time cost for signage in the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities at this time is $15,270. So, I will continue. I move to Senate Bill 63, version U, from committee with the attached fiscal notes just read and individual recommendations.
Any objection? Then we'll take a brief at ease, and if senators can just maintain us just for a few moments to sign documents. Back on the record. Next Wednesday, we will not have a Health and Social Services Committee on Friday. Next Wednesday, March 8th, we'll have a report from the Opioid Task Force. Thus, that concludes our business of the Health and Social Services Committee for today. Are there any member closing comments? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 3:03 p.m.